program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Triceptor Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Triceptor Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to, it's Monday, the beginning of a new week at Superhuman Radio. And just want to remind everybody that we now have a forum. You can go there. If you're at the superhumanradio.com website, look for the link on the right-hand side that says forum. When you click it, you'll be transported to the Anabolic Minds website, of which they are hosting the Superhuman Radio forum. You can post questions for our guests there. We try to get them over there to answer questions about nutrition, physical culture, blood work, anything that you have. Check it out. When you're at superhumanradio.com, look for the forum. All right, we got a great show planned for you today. Two subjects. The first hour is called Bugs Behaving Badly. I did not come up with that name. My guest actually came up with it. It's the name of her website also. Second hour, we're going to have Paul Becker from trulyhuge.com on talking about strategies to boost metabolism. The summer is coming. We all want to be lean. Everybody wants to see their abs. Well, guess what? If you don't burn fat, you're not going to see your abs. So that'll be the second hour. First hour, I'm going to have my guest now, Blair Liano Helvey. I did pronounce that correct, right, Blair?
You were close. It's Liano.
Liano, I'm sorry. Helvey okay. Is right. I did get that one
Helvey
right.
Helvey is right. Yeah.
How do you like that? Okay. Anyway, and she is an entomologist. And many of you remember the story I told about the 200-plus praying mantises that were loose in the garage that Elisa and I had to escort out to a hostas plant where they lived for a while and apparently have gone into the rest of the yard now. But Blair reminded me not to do that. Of course, that's what I did. She said, now, don't forget and leave it in your house because they'll hatch in your house, and they sure did. But this is where I got that particular pod from. Blair is an entomologist, and she specializes in bugs that actually help us. We've done shows on gardening, urban gardening, and many of you have been inspired to plant your own gardens, vegetables, and herbs. Well, what do you do about the little pests that eat your plants? Guess what? You don't have to turn to pesticides. You can actually turn to other creatures within the bug community to help you. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Now this is not a new approach to managing pests in agriculture, is it?
No, this is actually it's actually pretty old. Before the birth of DDT, that's kind of all that growers had was biological control, and there were very many more insectaries around prior to DDT, and insectaries are just places where big numbers of these bugs are reared for commercial use.
Okay, but back in the day, hundreds of years ago, like you said, before these pesticides, did farmers know that certain bugs were good to have around because they preyed on the other bugs that were destroying crops?
Mm-hmm. They sure did.
Now, which bugs fall into that category? Obviously, praying mantises, we know. They're very valuable to have because they eat other bugs. What other bugs are beneficial for your garden?
The praying mantis, some folks say they're beneficial. Some folks say they can be a nuisance because you can catch them eating, you know, like a butterfly or another mantis or something like that. But they make great garden pets. I love them. But they do like to eat flies and crickets. That seems to be their favorite food of choice. Some other things you may see out in your garden. A lot of folks, even commercial growers, I have found, don't always know the difference between a good bug or a bad bug. But just if you're not spraying your garden, you probably have some hoverflies, which are their scientific name is syrphid flies, and they actually mimic a bumblebee.
When you say they mimic, they look like them?
They look like a bumblebee.
Really?
Or like a little honey. Yeah, they can be smaller or even a little bit bigger, you know, close to about a half an inch. But they call them hoverflies because when you see them, I've also heard them called like tassel flies because sometimes they'll be up around corn tassels.
Okay.
But they kind of just hover and stay and, they're not moving up and down very much. They're kind of just staying, they're flying stationary. And their, immature is predaceous on aphids. So that's one thing you could, see in your garden. Some other things that are beneficial are the aphidolites. And they are another fly, and their immature is also predaceous on aphids.
Okay.
And that's a good way to see these, and a lot of these beneficials are very tiny. I mean, the mantids, you know, are big, and you can see those, but a lot of the biological or the beneficial insects are very, very small. Like the aphidolites immature is actually a bright orange maggot.
Oh, okay.
But it's very, very small. It's actually translucent until it gets bigger, and then you can see it when it's orange.
Okay, so what other bugs are beneficial that people should pay attention? Now, we also purchased some ladybugs from you.
Ladybugs
are good, huh?
They are good. Even the Asian ladybugs that seem to get in everybody's houses, their immature stage is predaceous on aphids as well. You can actually, immatures look like black and orange or a black and yellow or a black and red. Alligator is what I call them.
Okay.
But the ladybugs that I gave you are the convergent ladybugs.
Okay.
And so they're actually predaceous as adults, as well as their immature stage.
Okay. Okay. All right. Now, is it possible that having too many of these good bugs could present problems?
No. They're either, when you're talking about beneficials, you're going to have arthropods, because there are beneficial mites as well, and spiders. Spiders are beneficial.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. We're talking about, you know, like your spiders or your beneficial mites, and in the insects, you either have the predators or you have parasitoids. And predators are generalists. You know, they'll either have something they really, really like to feed on, like, for example, like the ladybugs like to eat the aphids, or and the parasitoids actually need a host to either parasitize, the parasitoids are wasps, and what they do, their actual stinger is modified into an ovipositor.
Uh-huh.
So what it does, when it's actually, it's either going to be an ectoparasite or an endoparasite, and the endoparasite actually lays her eggs inside of the host, and the ectoparasite lays her eggs on top of the host. And so they kind of just turn into mummies, and it results in death. But it results in a new parasitoid.
But none of these bugs that we're talking about prey on the actual foliage.
No,
no, I was going to say eat the actual plants that we're trying to protect from being destroyed?
Absolutely not. And I'm sorry, I was trying to figure out what the point of the question was.
No, that's okay.
No, either if they don't have food or a host, they're either going to move on or they're going to die.
Okay.
The only one that I was actually collecting larvae of the golden tortoise beetle this morning, and you will find that the golden tortoise beetle, it looks like a ladybug. It is a ladybug, but it's completely gold. They look like little gold droplets, and you'll see them a lot on bindweed. And they're actually weed feeders. There are weed feeders that are beneficials. You see a lot of that.
Really?
So
they weed. So they weed your garden as well.
They do, but the problem with that, like, it would be great. That particular beetle would be great somewhere like Oregon, where they don't feed on, where they don't grow sweet potatoes, because that's kind of the drawback here. Is that, you know, Kentucky, we grow a lot of sweet potatoes, and they love that as well as the bindweed.
Okay.
But on the West Coast, you know, they use a lot of the weed feeders.
And so could you actually manage whole gardens full of weeds just by having these beneficial bugs around?
If you had a bunch, if you had big numbers of them, I mean, that's the point of biological control, is that you're using massive numbers of these good bugs to get control of the bad bugs. The bad bugs reproduce a lot slower than your good bugs, and that's just nature's way of making sure that they have something to eat or to parasitize.
Gotcha, gotcha. Let's do this. I've got a bunch of questions I want to ask. I want to take a quick commercial break. We're talking today with Blair Liano, right?
Yes.
Liano Helvey, and she is an entomologist. Her website is Bugs Behaving Badly. Check it out. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance. And it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical. But it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to VeryIntensePleasure.com. Try it once and you'll buy it again and again. VeryIntensePleasure.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
Finally, a Bulbine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bulbine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bulbine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. If you want to learn more about how entomology can work for you, go to BugsBehavingBadly.com. Blair, do you have to buy these bugs as we did? I mean, obviously, bugs are all over the place.
Oh, absolutely. And the less you spray, or if you don't spray at all, they will, they just show up. When the good bugs start showing up, naturally, it's sometimes a little too little, a little too late. And that's, again, how biological control works is using these mass numbers. Now, I don't release any in my garden. I have quite a population.
So you attract them, in other words, and they're attracted.
I do, and I also I do encourage growers to put lots of little flowering plants or herbs in their garden. I do sell some beneficial seed blends that were actually mixed by an entomologist in California. And those just provide kind of like a nectar source and some safety for the beneficials. And that
so is that what it's called? If someone wanted to buy this, they would go to a company that sells seeds, and you would say, "I want to buy some beneficial seed sources to attract the beneficial bugs to my garden."
Well, yes, and you know, like I Buttons buys quite a bit of my bugs, and if you were to go to Button Seed Store and say that you would want some seed there to attract your biologicals or your beneficials, they would definitely point you into the seeds that would do that for you, the little plants. And these mixes have things like, you know, alyssum, bachelor's buttons, corn poppies, things like that.
Because we did a show not too long ago where Elisa Profumo, who is my co-host on the Friday show, she's a big-time gardener, very, very mm-hmm. avid gardener, and she talked about plant sources that actually scare bugs away, like pennyroyal and some others. Do those also scare the beneficial bugs away as well, you think?
I doubt it. And I also try to encourage growers to use trap plants, and that's a kind of a technique that we use a lot in greenhouse situations, but you can also use it out in your home garden. So, for example, thrips, a lot of folks don't know what thrips are, but if you're a rose grower or I have daisies right now that do have thrips on them. They leave those brown streaks in like your light-colored plants
right.
or in your flowers. So a good trap plant for those are marigolds. They love marigolds better than anything, and they also love Gerber daisies. Another trick would be for like if people are having trouble with whitefly,
right.
eggplant is really good.
Really?
Pulling out whitefly, it is. The only thing that doesn't really work well in a greenhouse setting is tomatoes, because they're both in that same group.
Right.
But any other crops, I tell greenhouse growers or home gardeners, you know, put some eggplant there if you're having problems with that. And it's like a magnet.
Now, if whether you attract these bugs or whether do you also on your website do you sell the the pods and so on to people around the country that want them for their gardens?
I do, and we also I do some wholesale as well to other bug folks.
Okay, and so if one of my listeners who has endeavored the urban gardening challenge and is now growing stuff in their backyard wants to learn more about this and understand how to obtain some of these, they just go to your website, right?
They do. They can email. And I do get calls occasionally from folks like in the eastern part of the country or on the west part. And usually those folks I just I send to somebody close to them. Because most of the insectaries in the country are on the west coast.
Is that what they're called, insectaries?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And obviously, do bugs ship well?
That is kind of the downside to this business, is that depending on the temperature, they either have to come today or overnight.
Right.
So it is quite, that is sometimes the shipping can be more than the bugs, depending.
Yeah, I can see that.
But, you know, the ladybugs, they can, sometimes we ship those 3 day, and the mantid egg cases too. We can just put some cold ice packs in there and off they go.
Is that what keeps them from hatching, the praying mantis cases?
They can take up to 8 weeks to come out.
Oh, really?
They can. So they're just kind of waiting to make sure that it's summer and not just, you know, a warm stint that we in the middle of the winter.
Right.
So bugs are very smart. A lot of people don't give them enough credit, but they're very intelligent.
Now, once you attract these bugs or you buy them and you put them in your backyards, will mm-hmm. will they lay eggs that will hatch year after year so you'll always have them? Like my praying mantises, and hopefully enough of them lived so that we'll see some. Because the Chinese praying mantis apparently gets very large, like 7-8 inches long or so.
They can get big, yes. Once you have them, you always have them.
Oh, so that's it. So as long as some of them live,
mm-hmm.
They will then plant the pod. They'll lay the case or the pod for next year.
Yes. Yes, but it seems like I'm getting the same people every year that want an egg case. They just get so excited just to see them emerge and come out. Because it's fascinating if you've never seen it. I mean, did you get to see your mantids come out? Or were they already out everywhere?
They were out. They were all over the walls and the ceilings. I mean, it was just amazing. It was amazing. But I noticed that there was like something that came out with them that looked like a fuzzy white stuff, like little balls.
Yeah, it looks like that's just their eggs. They're all in their individual eggs.
Ah, okay, okay. So now you said that out of those 200 or so that would hatch, not all of them would live. Is that because of the environment, or do they cannibalize each other when they're young?
Both.
Yeah, huh?
Both. It's very much a survival of the fittest out there.
Yeah.
So, well, unfortunately, and, you know, I mean, some of those great, if you get some of those larger pods, I mean, they can have, you know, 500 mantids in there.
Wow.
I mean, they can have quite a few packed in there.
Now, the ladybugs, you had me put them in the refrigerator until I was ready to set them loose. Does the cold make them go into a dormant phase or something?
They kind of just go to sleep. But ladybugs really are the only, I mean, besides storing the mantid egg cases in the fridge, ladybugs really the only beneficial that do better after they've been refrigerated. All the other bugs, when you get into like the specialty insects, are actually harvested and shipped immediately. But the ladybugs, yeah, they do. I mean, I can store them in the fridge for months. I just take them out every week and give them a drink of water and then put them back in.
Wow, that's pretty cool. If what if you're growing a garden on a terrace, let's say?
Mm-hmm.
Are you just out of luck in attracting these bugs and getting them?
Not necessarily. I mean, another, you know, just anything flowering will always attract bugs. Anything that's providing a nectar source.
Do you have the list of plant sources that attract beneficial bugs on your website by any chance?
I don't, but I guess I should get it on there. But a good rule of thumb is anything herbs. Any flowering herbs, even, you know, mint that flowers out, thyme that flowers out, those are all really good attractants.
Right.
For the bugs.
What about this little bug? Do you know, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. In Louisville, about 7 years, maybe 8 years ago, we started to see this tiny little honey-colored, what looks like a tiny miniature bumblebee. It's almost a little bit larger than a gnat. And it has kind of stripes on its body on the back. And I was told that this was a bug that was imported from South America to deal with the fire ants that were like in Mississippi or something like that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The only reason why I even knew what it was is because I heard this story, I want to say on a radio show once, that they were having trouble with fire ants somewhere down south of us, of Kentucky. So they imported a natural enemy of the fire ant, which is a small fly that lays its eggs in the back of the fire ant, and then naturally the fire ant being the host, it dies as a result of this.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, exactly. But the problem now is that these little flies have migrated north, and they're as far north as, you know, Ohio and going further north, and apparently they're pesky. They hover around your sink constantly. They're attracted to wine, by the way. If you leave a glass of red wine out, they will all sit on the edge and slowly fall in as the alcohol consumes them. And that's how I got rid of them 1 year. I just put a little glass of wine out and just left it there, and they just fly into it. They're a pain in the neck. What happens when these bugs come from other countries?
Well, that is kind of, you know, for example, the Chinese mantid. I mean, that was definitely came over here, I'm assuming on a ship many, many years ago, from Asia.
Right.
And that's, this is a good example. I know that we have the brown marmorated stink bug now, and that has come over from Asia. And it started, I believe, in Michigan, and it was actually found in Lexington last season. And the problem with this stink bug is that it just feeds on everything. And
like
even with
you mean like plant source everything? Or
yes, okay. Plants, vegetables, fruit trees. It can do some pretty extensive damage. So I'm just waiting for it to actually show up here in Louisville and other surrounding counties. But the USDA has deployed an entomologist to, you know, search for a beneficial that could take care of this bug. But they're very strict on what you can bring over.
Yeah, I mean, because you may bring over another problem.
Absolutely. You know, like biologicals have been brought over for something, and then they attack something that is not something that they want attacked.
Right.
So they're very, the USDA is very strict about what can be brought over. But that stink bug, I mean, even with the using chemicals, it's not well controlled, and so it's definitely a concern.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to take a quick commercial break. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about what happens to your garden when you have these beneficial bugs. Is there any evidence that the plants become more robust? We're talking today with Blair Liano Helvey. Her website is bugsbehavingbadly.com. The company is called Entomology Solutions, and they show you how to use bugs to manage your bugs and even your weeds. How do you like that one? All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible with 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler, and now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, we're going to have Paul Becker from trulyhuge.com on. I know many of you probably think that this particular topic is a little boring, but it's really not. We've talked about gardening and the importance of growing your own vegetables and herbs, because it's becoming increasingly harder and harder to get foods that haven't been tampered with in one way or another. You know, look at GMO. And part of that is not using pesticides yourself to manage your garden. One of the ways that you can avoid that is to become friends with beneficial bugs. So, Blair, is there any evidence that beneficial bugs not only get rid of the bad bugs, so to speak, but also benefit the vegetables and the crops that they shepherd, so to speak?
Oh, absolutely. The less pesticides used definitely result in bigger and healthier plants. A lot of the times, and I'm not saying that's always the case, but when I'm visiting a grower that has a really, really bad bug problem, it's from overspraying, because bugs are very good at developing a resistance to these sprays. And so growers just keep spraying and spraying and spraying pesticides, and then you end up with superbugs.
Right.
But yes, especially I do tell greenhouse growers, because it's when you're transitioning from chemicals to the biologicals, it can be very tough in the first year. It's almost like the bad bugs are almost, it's like they're on crack, or it's just very, it's hard to explain without you seeing it. I mean, they're aggressive, they're multiplying very quickly, and it just takes a lot of bugs, the good bugs, to get control of the bad bugs.
You think that's because the pesticides actually, in some way, through maybe some form of homesis, make these bugs kind of ramp up their ability to procreate and destroy things?
Possibly. I mean, I've definitely asked a couple of the professors at UK, because it's something I've never really seen before until I actually got into this business. So it's kind of a very fragile time with a commercial grower, because they want, you know, growers want that immediate satisfaction.
Well, yeah, they can't afford to have a year down, like, hey, wait until the bugs get, the good bugs get stronger, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it just, and what you're going for is you're going for the insects to colonize in these areas. But yes, after usually the second year, a grower will start seeing, you know, bigger plants, healthier plants, and lots of these bugs. And it'll actually decrease the cost. It's a savings that they have, and that's just for the direct cost of the pesticides compared to that with of the bugs. So initially it is a big investment. It really is. But the growers I have so far, once we get over that big hump, then they are pleased. I mean, I had a tomato grower who's certified organic, and it was very stressful, because one of the houses is 3,500 square feet of tomatoes, and each plant really should be getting around 30 pounds of tomatoes, and we were down to less than 8 pounds.
Wow.
And so it was very stressful. You know, it's their money. And but finally, once we got over that and got the beneficials doing all the work, then they're very pleased.
Yeah, yeah. What about cicadas? Are they beneficial bugs, or are they just not anything?
They're kind of a nuisance. They actually, we have the annual and the periodical cicadas. Let's see, the last time we had the periodical cicadas was in Louisville. We saw those around, I believe, 2004, and then
And it was amazing. It was like you couldn't go anywhere without seeing cicada carcasses stuck to things, or the sound of them rubbing their little wings together everywhere.
I know. I think that's great. They're actually probably one of my favorites. I was a very little girl the time before that, because they're the 17-year periodical cicadas. And I used to just decorate my parents' house with cicadas and put them in my sister's bed.
You mean the actual bug or the shell of carcass?
Both.
Oh, wow.
Both. Yeah, I definitely,
you must
I tortured.
A fun little kid, huh?
Oh, well, my sister's 10 years older than I am, and her friends were just terrible. And so that bugs were like my only defense. That's all I had.
Good for you.
Yeah, so I mean, it's definitely, it wasn't something that I just decided I was going to do. The bugs is something that I've always been very interested in as a child.
So so that's how you got into this, huh? I mean, you liked bugs and you made it your career.
I did. I actually, my mother's from southeastern Kentucky.
Okay.
And so in the summer, I was always taken down there for a few weeks, and, you know, just playing with the bugs was so much fun. And then, you know,
I can see my audience right now shaking their head going, nah, you don't play with bugs. Come on.
Oh, yes. I mean, I used to love to collect blue bottle flies and blow flies. Of course, you know, where they're either on dead bodies or they're on, you know, on dog piles. And that's,
I've never heard of a blow fly before.
You've never heard of a blow fly?
No.
Yeah. Well, they're, you know, people are really disgusted by those and by maggots, but that's nature's cleanup crew.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely, I had played with the idea of doing, going into forensic entomology.
I was just going to say, they use maggots now. They can tell so much from the maggots that form on a dead body as far as its time of death and when what happened. And
oh, yeah, everything. They can pinpoint the exact time.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
that. So, but I, you know, I always tinkered in a garden and I love to grow things. And so I think this is a much better route for me.
So if somebody wants to, if somebody has an average garden, let's say, you know, they have a box garden in the backyard, maybe it's a 12 foot by 12 foot square area and they're growing various stuff and they want to purchase some of these bugs from you or from a, what do you call it?
An insectary.
An insectary, thank you. What kind of money are they talking about generally?
Let's see, the ladybugs and the mantids are very inexpensive. But when you're getting into like this, and the nematodes, we haven't talked about the beneficial nematodes.
Oh, yeah, let's, we'll get to that.
Nematodes are, microscopic roundworms.
Okay.
And, there's different, species of them. And there's also some bad nematodes too, like root knot nematodes. And so I don't want folks to get scared when I say nematode and think they're the bad nematodes.
Right.
But nematodes.
I got
are
a
great.
Strong feeling that no one in my audience even knows what a nematode
is. Knows what a nematode is.
So they're not going to get scared by the good one or the bad one, okay? Because I don't. I thought you were going to talk about frogs. Actually.
I thought
you were talking about a toad. I was like,
no. No, they're very very small roundworms, and they attack over 230 pests that are in the soil, grubs. Fleas, flea larvae,
really?
Flea beetle larvae. Oh, they're great, and they're called
but
infective.
But if they're microscopic, how do you know that you're really? I mean, I could say, hey, there's a here's a bag full of nematodes. You can't see them; they're microscopic. How do you know you got any?
Well, what I tell folks if they want to see them, you can just get like a little scoop of them because they come in like an inert carrier.
Okay.
And you can actually get a scoop of them and put them in some water and actually look through like a hand lens. And you'll see them in a good way to know if you have live ones or dead ones. Dead ones are going to be stick straight, and live ones are going to have a curl to them.
Oh, cool.
And they're called infective nematodes because they actually enter the orifices of the host, and then they release a bacteria, which results in death.
Which results in me going, ew.
It's pretty disgusting, but
yeah.
I think it's really cool.
But okay, so but obviously when we talk about the host, we're talking about bugs. Do they do anything to people?
No, not at all. They don't do anything to people, to your pets. They don't harm your earthworms. They're strictly going after grubs. There's even some out there for termites.
What about earthworms? Are earthworms are not bugs, right?
No.
Okay. But do they fall into the heading of entomologists using things that benefit gardens?
Well, some do. There are entomologists that definitely go into... I don't even know the scientific name for worms. Isn't that terrible? And I should.
I know one. C. elegans. How about that one?
Thank you. Perfect. Perfect. But no, worms are great for your garden. I mean, they aerate the soil. I have huge worms. They almost look like snakes. I guess those are called night crawlers. But they're very beneficial, and their worm castings are beneficial as well for your garden.
Now, worm castings means when cast. You're talking about. Not casting like the shape of a worm. You mean what they cast off as they go through the dirt, right?
Yes. Yes,
so you're talking about worm poop, basically.
Yes, basically.
Okay. Why is worm poop so beneficial for your garden?
Why is cow poop so beneficial for your garden?
Ah, okay. Nitrogen.
Yes.
There you go. So worms make nitrogen. How do you like that? Let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. We actually have some questions from listeners, believe it or not. I've got to read these. During the commercial break, I'm going to read these questions real quick. And we're going to come back, and we're going to talk more with Blair Liano. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name, Blair.
No, you're doing fine.
Okay, Liano Helvey. If you want to learn more, go to her website, Bugs Behaving Badly. We'll be right back.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage manage pain, and you should too.
Branched-chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaHLER.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to ageforce.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Just want to remind everybody about some active coupon codes. You can save 50% off Testo 100 by using the coupon code SHR4, the numeral 4. And of course, opresource.net, the best peptides in the world. And you can save 25% off their already low, low prices by using the coupon code SUPERHUMAN25, SUPERHUMAN25. Okay. Blair, we have questions from Dr. Peter Rouse.
Okay.
First of all, Dr. Rouse is from New Zealand, and he said, how about certain breeds of ants? They use certain ants in the gardens in New Zealand. Anything?
Well, when you talk about ants with biologicals, from my experience is that the ants can totally devastate your biological program.
Because they'll eat all the other bugs?
No, because certain insects like your mealybugs, your aphids, scale, whitefly, they all produce honeydew, and that's basically that's their excrement, and it's sugar. And so the ants will actually protect these insects from the biologicals. I mean, they'll kill them, they'll fight them off, and these ants actually will herd aphids like cattle.
Really?
Yes, and the aphids themselves actually will become incontinent from actually being milked so much for their honeydew by the ants.
There's just something really wrong about this.
But it's pretty interesting.
I know, ants herding other bugs and then getting them to, like, overproduce. It sounds like what we do to cattle.
It's absolutely.
Oh, my
absolutely.
God.
But it's very fascinating. If you ever have a high infestation of ants or aphids, start looking for the ants. And they really do. They'll pick them up and move them. I mean, it is, they really herd them like cattle.
So the ants are kind of like the pimps, and they're saying, hey, go out and get me my honeydew. Bring it back.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so there you go. All right, Dr. Rouse has another question.
Okay.
He's in Southern California in Santa Monica. He's got a beautiful facility out there. He says, we're looking at a building. We're thinking of doing an indoor glass house in a large warehouse building with natural skylights. Will these bugs stay indoors, in glass house, or would they get out through the, you know, out of the building or attempt to get out of the building?
As long as they have a food source there, they will stay put.
Which would be the other bugs.
Which would be the other bugs.
But I would imagine that you don't have an infestation problem when you have an indoor greenhouse.
No, oh, huh? Yes. Well, because it's an enclosed area. So it only takes one aphid to have an infestation. Aphids have live births, and they don't have to mate.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So they're just little baby-making machines.
They are. You can actually see them have live births.
Oh, wow. How big mm-hmm. is an aphid?
It depends. They can be pretty small and different colors. One of the aphids that's very easy to recognize is the Aphis nerei, and it's the oleander aphid. And you will actually see that on, like, Asclepias butterfly weed. They love it. And they're great big yellow aphids with black legs.
Mmm, yummy.
Yo,
with
yes.
honeydew coming out
with
of it.
With honeydew, yeah.
Are butterflies beneficial?
Yes. Well...
I mean, do they eat other bugs?
No, but they can help pollinate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Obviously, they bring pollen from one flower to another. So the takeaway really needs to be that people need to be thinking not about their bugs as pests, but as a resource to help them keep the pesky bugs away.
Sure, and you know, you're never going to get rid of all the bad bugs using beneficials, but you're surely not going to do that as well with sprays.
Right.
It's just with the beneficials and doing like a biological program, you're just bringing the pest to a very low level.
Any rumor that Monsanto is going to get into the bug business?
I haven't heard anything.
I doubt that, huh?
Now, Syngenta has a bug line.
Really?
They do. They have some good bugs.
Syngenta is owned by Bayer, isn't it? Bayer Syngenta, I believe that's the name of the company.
I think so.
So they are capitalizing on this technology. Obviously, bugs are the antithesis of Monsanto's exploits because they're basically a chemical company.
Yeah, but it wouldn't surprise you know the more interest there are in the bugs.
Maybe
you know,
they,
we may see a change.
Yeah, they'll come out with a GMO bug. They'll
oh,
come
gosh.
Out with a genetically modified bug. That not only eats all the bad bugs, but then at the end of the season eats itself.
Eats itself? Yeah. Wouldn't that be interesting?
And then it rids itself of, so you don't have to clean anything up. Or wait, they'll come out with a 400-pound aphid so they can have all the honeydew. They can feed it to people then.
Well, you know, I had a taxonomy teacher that would have us eat. He always wanted us to eat the honeydew or get stung by a bug just so we could experience.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, it was the honeydew itself. Actually, it is very sweet.
Yeah. So you have tasted it?
I have tasted the
I have a funny too. Feeling a lot of us have tasted it. As children, I remember we would go to the honeysuckle plants, and people would say, oh, you could taste the honey, lick them. And I don't believe honeysuckle plants are inherently sweet. They may smell that way. But if you did taste something sweet, I have a funny feeling it was honeydew left behind by another bug. So.
It's very sweet, and when it accumulates, it's almost like a syrup.
Mmm, yum.
Tasty.
Yum. Like Paula Deen says, yum, y'all.
Yeah.
But anyway, where was I going with that? I actually had a thought in my mind, but anyway. Any opinions on the use of Agent Orange to now replace Roundup since we have all of the Roundup ready weeds growing now that don't want to die from Roundup?
I haven't even heard that, but that just I'm almost speechless because have you ever met anybody that has been hit with Agent Orange?
I have a friend who died of Hodgkin's disease. He was in Vietnam. He was drenched in Agent Orange one time, and everybody in his platoon actually came down with some form of cancer. Agent Orange is terrible stuff.
I really hope that's not. Yes,
it's real. If you look, you find out. Monsanto's talking about making Agent Orange ready corn now to take the place of the ready Roundup corn or Roundup ready corn because the Roundup ready corn has given rise to super weeds that won't die. So now they're saying, well, Agent Orange will kill them.
It's the same as the superbugs.
Yeah.
It's the same. You know, you can't beat nature.
Yeah. I'm gonna make a prediction. I'm gonna make a prediction. About 75 years from now, Monsanto will be coming out with a nuclear warhead for farmers to use to kill all of the weeds that are then so strong that nothing, that they're actually eating humans because of all of the process of homesis that Monsanto has made. They've actually giant Venus flytraps catching cows you're going to have in fields very soon. Go milk the cow. I can't. He's stuck in the plant. I can't pull his tail. Pull him out.
Oh, sure. And that, you know, that's why I encourage folks, you know, buy from these small farmers.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard to do, it's very hard on these, you know, 1,000 acres to do anything organic.
Yeah.
So we need more small farmers.
And my audience supports small farmers. We all go to farmers markets. Many of us buy raw milk, unpasteurized milk and cream and butter. Pastured eggs, so we are of that ilk, and that's why a lot of people, I mean, even my show is carried all over the world, and there's one fella named Johan who lives in Sweden who is posted pictures of, after we did the gardening show, he had a beautiful garden on his terrace. I mean, it's just amazing. A little, you know, plastic square cubicles filled with dirt, and he's grown all sorts of great stuff.
Oh, so, you know, I've seen a lot of gardens done on a, you know, postage stamp.
Yeah.
And so it's just, I encourage folks, you know, a lot of people, you know, there's this building of these home gardeners, and I think it's great. And I just tell folks, you know, because a lot of them seem like they're frustrated or they don't know or they're not familiar with it. You're never going to learn unless you get out there and try it.
Dr. Rouse just posted on Facebook. He said there in New Zealand they have ants. He's familiar with your aphid herding ants.
Uh-huh.
He said in New Zealand they have ants that actually kill off the ants that herd the aphids.
Really?
I mean, that's what he's saying.
I'll have to look into that. That's pretty amazing.
New Zealand is like the last of the frontiers, in my opinion. It's still like the Wild West there. In fact, Dr. Rouse carries a sidearm since he lives in California, not like him. But anyway, if you want to learn more, about beneficial bugs, I love the name of your website, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I love that. Bugs Behaving Badly. Go check it out, and it'll give you some insight into the things that you can do to avoid using pesticides. And you know what? Get some aphids and start a honeydew garden. There you go. Who knows? There's maybe that's the message here today. I don't know. I didn't sleep well last night. For any of you who can tell, I'm not on my game this morning. I'm actually only using one lobe of my brain today. The other lobe is asleep already. Anyway, listen, I want to thank you so much for such short notice coming on the air and talking about this.
Oh, no, it's been great.
And I have to tell you, Elisa will attest to this. She actually woke up in the middle of the night and to use the facility and upon returning back to bed, thought to herself, did we ever put that praying mantis pod out? Or actually, she was thinking, did Carl ever put that praying mantis pod out? And the next morning, she goes, did you ever put that praying mantis pod out? I said, no, I don't think so. And we went into the garage, and there were little praying mantises all over the walls and ceilings, and they were still coming out of the box. So she, somehow through ESP was communing with the bugs. She communed with the bugs, and she knew that they were out there.
Oh, yes. I'm starting to get the phone calls now, like, what do we do? And I said, I told you. Put it outside.
We got plastic cups and a postcard, and we just knocked them in the cups and, you know, gently, and then took them over to the tree that we put them under, and they stayed under that tree for a while, but they're all gone now, so I'm hoping they're not dead. You think they just...
Oh, no. You'll start... wait till about August and September and start looking for the big ones.
Someone sent me a picture. Danny from Lexington sent a picture of a Chinese praying mantis. It's scary looking. It's so big.
Oh, they make good pets.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm thinking? If we can get one to... If we can get a saddle on one, we could probably ride it into town and sell our honeydew at the market.
We could.
There
absolutely.
You go. Listen, I want to thank you so much, Blair, for
thank
coming
you.
On the show. Okay, have a great day.
You too.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, I will try to continue to use the portion of my brain that is still functioning after not sleeping well last night to interview Paul Becker about strategies that will help boost your metabolism. This is Superhuman Radio. I'll be right back. Oh,
products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to ageforce.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once, and you'll buy it again and again. Veryintensepleasure.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio, where the host doesn't feel too super today, as I told you. I didn't sleep well last night. My brain is not functioning completely. But I have my good friend, Paul Becker from trulyhuge.com, to help me look intelligent. How you doing, Paul?
Good. How are you, Carl?
I'm sleepy. I didn't sleep well last night, and I have a bit of the brain fog today.
Yeah, I understand.
Anyway, Paul, The subject of boosting metabolism is one that is really primed right now because the summer months are around the corner. Well, we're here actually, upon us rather. And everybody wants to look fit and trim. And you cannot burn fat if your metabolism isn't clicking along properly, optimized, so to speak, right?
Absolutely.
But does it take drugs to boost your metabolism, Paul?
In some medical cases, but for the average person, it's not necessary, you know, just got to follow some rules of the body itself.
Right. So let's talk about that. What's one of the things that people really make the biggest mistake when it comes to trying to get their metabolism ramped up?
Well, I find a lot of people, they want to lose some weight or, you know, or fat,
right.
You know. Truthfully, you should be wanting to lose fat.
Right.
The scale
should not be the end all and be all for your goal setting.
Absolutely, because you can lose weight and the scale will go down and you're actually getting fatter if you do it wrong.
Yeah, and actually this is a problem with a lot of women who go on some of these fad diets and they look at the scale and they say, you know, I'm losing weight. But what they don't realize is they're losing a bunch of muscle. And then what happens is, as soon as they go off their fad diet, their resting metabolic rate has actually dropped because there's less muscle, which means they're burning less calories when just sitting still. And they just start eating what they used to eat. They actually get fatter than they were when they started.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is so common. It's unbelievable. So you really have to pay attention to the quality of your weight loss and not necessarily the quantity, right?
Absolutely. You're much better using body fat percentage as a measure of your progress than just weight on the scale.
Right. So what are some of the things that people need to get refocused on when they talk about bumping up the metabolism?
Well, one of the things you were saying, fad diets, a lot of fad diets are let's even start before that. Sometimes people just skip meals. Like I've known people, oh, I eat once a day because that's going to help me lose weight. So the body, you know, in trying to survive, sees that there's a situation where there seems to be less food around than there used to be, so I better conserve energy. And the way it does that is it starts to lower the metabolism.
Because basically, slowing down your metabolism is a protective mechanism for the body, basically.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, look, there were times in the past when there were food shortages, all kinds of things, and the body has built-in responses. How does it survive through a time of food shortages, et cetera?
Right.
And and then, actually, if the body is trying to survive in a time of food shortage, it feels that fat is important to hold on to.
Right. So it actually and you know, Dr. Scott Connolly talked about this on a recent show. You know, you look at an animal that hibernating animals, squirrels, bears, they mm-hmm. actually put on weight right before they go into hibernation, yet they can actually put that same weight on if held in captivity and not given more food. They continue to put more fat on. I'm sorry, fat, I should say. So this mm-hmm. repartitioning effect is metabolic.
Hmm.
It's not completely caloric dependent.
Right. Makes sense. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he talked about a study where they actually took squirrels that hibernate and did not increase their food intake before hibernation. Yeah, and they still repartitioned more fat than they started out with.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So, what about meal? What about meal frequency? Since we're talking about, you know, the body ramps down the metabolism in the face of not enough food. What about meal frequency? How does that affect? Everybody out there wants to eat every 3 hours, every 4 hours, every. Does that really make a difference, you think?
I absolutely do. One of the most important things is not to skip breakfast because you've already been fasting. That's the name of the meal, is break the fast, because you've been fasting for at least as long as you've been asleep and
right.
maybe a couple hours before that. So one of the biggest things is, you know, always eat breakfast and don't skip meals, and then eat about maybe every between 2 and 3 hours apart, because you're going to eat maybe 4 to 6 meals a day. And what, you know, first of all, this is telling your body that food isn't in, there's no shortage of food. There's food around because we're eating, you know, multiple times a day. Now, of course, we're going to be careful of the quantity and quality of the food, but it just, it keeps your body out of that starvation mode.
And I was just going to say, there's two different states, this fed state and the unfed state. When you're in a fed state, your body actually does different things with the food that you're eating. When you're in a fed state, the body says, okay, food is abundant. I don't have to store as much fat. I'm not in a time of famine. I don't have to be worrying about that. And it allows you to use your calories more or your food intake more, utilize it more efficiently, and you burn fat at that period of time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What about high-protein diets? Do they, in fact, increase metabolism?
I definitely believe so. What you're feeding your body, I believe, is telling your body, you know, there's hormonal changes and all kinds of things, and giving your signal to your body of, you know, what it's going to do. And I, you know, if you feed it high protein, it has enough, first of all, there's enough amino acids available that it doesn't have to start cannibalizing muscle tissue, lean tissue, for amino acids it needs. And even to build some, when you know, if you're doing strength training, and you definitely should, because that's another thing that is going to help increase or at least keep your metabolism from going down.
Right.
So I believe that's the like I was saying, you're going to eat 4 to 6 meals a day, and you're going to, but the quantity and quality we're going to be careful of, and the quality is that the most important thing of those meals is that they are high protein.
Now, you cannot ignore carbohydrates either when we talk about metabolism, because the metabolism is actually greatly affected by the thyroid, and not eating adequate amounts of carbohydrates. And I'm not talking about sugary and starchy carbs. It could be vegetables and things like sweet potatoes and so on. That could also shut down your metabolism greatly, can it?
Absolutely.
So you can't just say, oh, I'm just going to eat high protein and forget about carbs.
Right. Absolutely. So we're going to make sure we have adequate protein and also have high quality carbohydrates of unrefined carbohydrates, you know, vegetables, some fruits, you know, like you said, sweet potatoes, things like that are, you know, because that's just, you take it from nature and you boil it or you bake it. That's it.
Right.
That's not much of a, there's no.
No processing.
Yeah, exactly.
No processing. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to pick it up a little bit more, discussing the strategies to use to increase metabolism. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines 3 of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these 3 agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has Taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Paul Becker of TrulyHuge.com. We're talking about boosting metabolism. Okay, we talked about carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are important, but you don't want sugary carbohydrates, do you?
Right. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of problems with highly refined carbohydrates and sugar, what they do to, you know, spike insulin levels, which is going to encourage your body to store more fat, slow down your metabolism. I mean, just think it, when you have a highly refined carb meal, that you usually start to feel tired.
Right.
So that just tells you right there what it's doing. You know, if you're tired, I imagine your metabolism has to be slowing down.
Yeah. So my metabolism must be really slow today, because I'm really, really tired. So I'm not burning any fat while I'm sitting here, Paul.
I don't know.
Maybe I'll, you know what, during the next commercial break, I'll drop and do 20 push-ups.
That might help.
Yeah.
Might help.
So any tricks to bumping metabolism? I mean, obviously, we could all turn to things like caffeine, and we could talk about that a little bit later, but are there any tricks as far as food tricks that help bump the metabolism?
Well, you know, eating spicy foods such as hot peppers.
Really?
Can definitely help. I mean, you ever see somebody eating a really, like, really hot chili or something?
They start sweating. Yeah, right.
So, you know, I tend to like spicy food anyway, so you know, adding that, and it definitely adds some flavor to your foods too.
I can't tolerate hot food anymore.
Okay.
I mean, it's not the heat, it's what it does to my throat.
Now your digestive system. Your throat.
Right. Yeah, my throat has become too sensitive to spicy. It's like,
okay,
I end up coughing for a half hour.
Right. All right, well, you know, you got to do what's right for you, too, with any guidelines.
But what about just taking, like, cayenne pepper in a capsule form, where you bypass the mouth, it goes right into your stomach? Well, wouldn't that work also?
Oh, absolutely. See, I thought you were talking about, you know, it bothers your stomach or your digestive system.
No, it's my throat.
That's a good solution.
Yeah.
That's a great solution.
Yeah, so that's what I could do, obviously. Okay. Where do we go from there?
Well, I would say another important thing is water intake. You know, most people aren't drinking enough pure water. Especially if you're drinking coffee and things like that.
Because they're like diuretics, right?
Exactly. So, you know, you want to make sure you're getting a lot of water, you know, because that's going to help, you know. Well, first of all, your body needs water for all its functions. And also water helps, you know, clean out toxins and waste products out of your body. So you just by getting enough water every day, you are you know, helping your body function better and will.
Do you think drinking water, you know, we talk about thermogenesis and we talk about causing the body to burn more calories. Like there's a lot of thought about certain vegetables. By eating certain vegetables, the caloric expenditure in digesting them outweighs the caloric contribution. So therefore, it's thought that these help you burn fat. Is there any evidence that drinking water kind of makes the machinery work harder, so you're burning calories?
You know, I'm not really sure of that. I'm just saying that it helps keep your body functioning correctly.
Right.
And you know, I guess, you know, let's look at it this way. If your body thinks there's a water shortage, it has to go also into some type of conservation mode also.
Right.
You know, so you want to make sure your body doesn't think there's a food or water shortage, so it doesn't have to conserve its energy or do anything, you know, go into any type of mode like that, because it's always, its answer is always to slow itself down.
Right. Okay. So drink plenty of water. You think it's really required to drink a gallon of water a day, or is that just not necessary, really?
You know, I mean, I think that would all depend on body weight and all that. I mean, what's the general thing these days? 8 cups or
eight glasses, eight ounce glasses of water,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I mean, but there's a lot of people who aren't even doing that, or if they are, they think their coffee counts, or you know, so. You know, that's your general, that's your thing. And, you know, a bigger person, you know, you got to take into body size, you got to take into account body size, activity, how much are you actually sweating now? That
also, how much protein you're eating, because protein requires more water, right?
Because
protein can act as a diuretic. Protein can act as a diuretic.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And carbohydrates need water too, along with them, and so okay, you know. So I mean, I would start with the general recommendation, and then figure out how much you need based on things like that, and especially that when in the warm weather, we're sweating more now.
Right.
So we definitely got to make sure that is minimally replaced, and that you have enough water.
Okay. Where do we go from there?
Well. One of the biggest things, because I get a lot of women who want to lose weight, and they're dieting, and they're doing cardio, but they're not including any type of strength training. And, you know, sometimes their diet isn't right, so usually I correct their diet and then tell them, you know, to include at least 2 to 3 times a week of strength training to maintain lean muscle mass, otherwise to maintain and or build lean muscle mass to make sure that the body isn't lowering its metabolism, because that's what it's going to do. If you start giving it less calories, it's going to start trying to deal with that by lowering the metabolism.
Right.
And it's going to, and as we were talking about before, in a situation of famine, fat becomes important to store, but muscle doesn't. Your body itself doesn't say, hey, I want to look good on the beach. Your body's, I want to survive. So,
right.
And it doesn't think that the muscle is important at this time, or as important as fat is. So it will hold on to the fat and use the muscle. So doing strength training at least 2 to 3 times a week is going to combat that and keep your metabolism at a high rate.
Right. What about sleep? Does sleep matter? Obviously, I'm asking that question for selfish purposes.
Well,
do you think my metabolism is slowed down today, or do you think it's just a matter of I'm tired, but my metabolism is still clicking along properly?
Well, Let's look at it this way, right? I mean, metabolism is pretty much based on movement, right? I mean, and you're probably going to do less today.
Yeah.
Because you're tired. You might not get to the gym if you don't feel up to it.
I actually have already been to the gym today.
Okay, well, that's smart. You do it early in the day before later in the day when you're like, oh, God, I'm so tired now.
Right.
So that was a smart thing to do. But, you know, here's the thing. It's like once in a while we're all going to have a night where we have trouble sleeping. But in general, you want to make sure you're getting enough sleep.
Right.
First of all, what's, you know, how do you feel? How do you just feel between a day of when you've had sufficient or even a little more than sufficient rest and when you haven't? What's the difference in the way you feel?
Well, I definitely don't move as much. You're right. If I don't have sufficient rest, I'm definitely not up and around as much, but I'm still trying my best to move.
Right. But still, you know, like on a day when you don't, you know, you're talking about, well, you said earlier you got brain fog and, you know, I mean, there's, even the way your body feels, it almost is like, I think we'd probably all agree when your metabolism is performing at its best, you'd probably feel a lot better too.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, you know, there's all the things that happen during sleep. The body gets to rebuild itself, you know, rejuvenate itself. There's de-stressing factors to getting enough sleep. So it's definitely important, and, you know, I mean, a lot of people are living on maybe 5 or 6 hours sleep a night, and it's, you know, it's really not enough.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick up the discussion. We're talking with Paul Becker from TrulyHuge.com. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Even though I don't sound superhuman today, I still am. Don't mess with me. We'll be right back.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Finally, a Bulbine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bulbine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bulbine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
When you take real performance enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance. And it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical. But it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to VeryIntensePleasure.com. Try it once and you'll buy it again and again. VeryIntensePleasure.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbells.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Paul Becker from TrulyHuge.com. Paul, what about caffeine? Does caffeine play an important role, you think, for ramping up metabolism? Or is it overestimated in its ability to help you shed fat?
I believe it helps, you know, to a point, of course, you know. But I find that, it, you know, I have a little, I'm not an everyday coffee drinker, right? So when I occasionally drink coffee, I find that, you know, I have a bit more energy and steam to get through things. So, but I think your body can get used to it also, if you use it too much. Because I know people who drink coffee so they can go to sleep.
Really?
Those
people might be ADD, because doesn't Ritalin, which is like a stimulant, have the opposite effect on ADD children?
I don't believe in those labels, and I don't believe in drugging people for, you know, something like that.
No, but I understand.
But I think the real truth there is it's almost like they're so addicted to caffeine that they have to drink it just to feel normal, not even to get any effect.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying, that to a point it definitely does. You know, look, there's definitely some supplements that help boost your metabolism, but, you know, a supplement is always the extra thing. You know, you get in all these things, and then you can use a supplement that will help a bit.
Are you familiar with the supplements that use a naturally occurring form of thyroid hormone called T2?
No. T2.
Okay. T2 is naturally occurring in beef, so it's not a controlled substance. But it does have the ability to increase thermogenesis dramatically, and it has shown in some clinical trials to have an effect on fat, reducing fat accumulation.
Okay.
And my good friend Mitch Barham over at Orbit Nutrition has a product there called Shift, which is nothing more than T2. In pretty high doses. I think it's like 100 and something micrograms per cap, or maybe more. But you know it's working, because it makes you sweat like a banshee.
Okay.
So obviously that would be an upregulation in metabolism to a certain degree, right?
Well, if your body... I was going to bring this up too. You know, your body temperature has a lot to do with your metabolism. You know, if you have... a normal body temperature, you know you're doing pretty well. If it's low, you know, there's something wrong. So, and if it's a little high, you know, there's a difference between a fever and et cetera. But, you know, if it's, you know, you feel warm and you're sweating like after you exercise.
Right.
You know, there's a bit of a boost. You know, one of the things I've been looking at recently is thyroid tests don't always tell the full story, and it used to be that they would. One of the things they would look at is the body temperature,
right?
And it seems like that's dropped away. Although that is still a valid
parameter for a healthy functioning thyroid,
exactly. And there are some people who seem to have normal thyroid function by their tests, but their body temperature is low, and then when they get put on a small dose of, a T3 type, like a natural T3 supplement, medication/supplement, that they do a lot better.
Right.
Their weight problems, their energy problems. So it's just something I've learned recently that's just a very interesting factor.
What about living in hot climates? You think that living in a hot climate like Las Vegas or Phoenix during the summer, you think you burn more calories because you're sweating a lot?
I'm not sure on that one.
Matt, that would really be intriguing to do some research, because I know that I remember reading a couple papers years ago. One that talked about drinking really cold water makes you burn more calories. I mean, nothing significant, but over the course of months, it could equate to like an extra pound of body fat loss.
Right.
Because your body has to keep bumping up body temperature to compensate for the cold water.
Right.
Okay. And I remember reading something years ago about exercising in the cold weather has the same effect, because your body has to work harder to stay warm.
Mm-hmm.
And so you actually burn more calories training in cold weather because of this the thermodynamics of keeping your body warm. So if heat burns calories, I wonder if it's the fact that the body is working to keep itself warm, or what about if the body is in a hot environment, like a sauna, a steam room, obviously ramps up metabolism. Your heart starts racing to keep the body cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's the flip side of the same thing, so to speak. The body is working hard to keep the body cool.
Right. I think that's the point, that the body has to do more work in either case, and you may be right that there is a more caloric expenditure anytime the body has to do more work. So I think you're right there, but like you said, it's probably, you know, I don't know if there's any studies we could look into it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds reasonable to me that if you're in an ultra-hot climate and your body is working harder to stay cool, that you're burning more calories. But then again, who knows? Mm-hmm. What else, Paul?
Cardio exercise is definitely an important point. Most people are trying to lose weight. Most people are doing that, but you know, there are people who maybe aren't doing enough or doing the right kind, or it's definitely an important factor. And what I've recently heard is probably one of the best exercises for increasing metabolism is jumping on a trampoline.
Really?
This is what I've been reading about, and it's interesting.
More so than just like doing stationary bicycle or elliptical work?
This is what the author of a book I was reading is saying. And, and you know, that when he does that, he'll be sweating still like 15, 20 minutes after the workout's done.
Interesting.
And, you know, what my thought on it was, you know what, it's almost like a natural thing. Like, what do little kids do? They jump up and down on a bed, you know, and the adults yell at them, stop that, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly, because they don't want the kid to break the bed.
Exactly, but you know what, it's fun for them, and maybe this is just, you know, a natural form of exercise that they're trying to do anyway.
Right.
You know, and there's also anti-gravity effects, because, you know, when you're coming down, there's effects on the body that are quite interesting that you wouldn't get from, like you said, an elliptical or something like that.
Okay.
So, you know, I bought, one of these mini trampolines for, I forget, like, you know, $30 or something like that, and, you know, I'm going to start, you know, messing around with that as a cardio, you know.
Right.
And the thing is, you know, the other thing is cardio should be fun, you know. So it's like, why not try different things, you know, try the trampoline, bike ride, do all kinds of, you know.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. I've shifted my cardiovascular training as a result of a couple things. Number one, my desire to truly make my heart stronger, really stronger. I mean, not just like, you know, oh, well, doing a half hour of cardiovascular work is good for your heart. I mean, really make the heart stronger the way you make your biceps stronger, which means that it's going to be able to pump harder and reach faster beat rates as well. Because as we age, we tend to have a harder time maintaining those 180s, 190s beats per minute. So I'm experimenting with some things, and I have reason to believe that I'm onto something, because I've been reading Ori Hofmeckler's new book, Unlock Your Muscle Gene. I'm one of the few people in the country that actually has a pre-release copy that he's given me to read, because he wants my opinion on the book. And some of the things that I've been thinking about, actually, he writes about in his book about muscle fiber differentiation due to really, really, I'm talking about really strenuous work. I'm talking about pushing your body right to that plateau of where it can become dangerous. Mm-hmm. And my listeners know that I've been experimenting with a combination of movements. I do a set of breathing squats, followed immediately by a set of heavy farmer's walks, followed by a set of plyometric squats. And I my heart is racing so fast at the end of that third movement that in the initial stages when I first started doing this, I had a hard time getting my heart rate to come back down where it belonged. Now it's coming down faster, and I predict in months it'll be even faster than that. Which tells me my heart is functioning better, because it's able to go up to the high rate and then recover quicker as well. Mm-hmm. And the that workout, when I do it, by the time I get back to the studio and I'm sitting here getting ready to do my show, up to an hour or so later, I am still dripping sweat.
Wow.
I'm still dripping sweat. I mean, I'm still sweating. I'm hot. As a matter of fact, sometimes I have to take my shirt off. Because the clean shirt that I just put on after showering at the gym is now about threatened to become drenched with sweat. So sometimes I have to take my shirt off, and at least an hour later, I'm still dripping sweat. So that tells me that that workout is really ramping up my metabolism for a while. Now, I have to believe that even though I may not be sweating any longer, my metabolism is still ramped up hours later. But just not to the degree where I'm dripping sweat any longer.
Right. I mean, that's the real benefit of cardio training. Isn't just, oh, I was on the treadmill and I burned 300 calories. It's that your metabolism stays at an elevated rate for hours afterwards.
Which, by the way, do you buy that? All the cardio equipment out there has, you know, meters on it that it's supposed to tell you how many calories you burn based on how heavy you are, the resistance on the machine, and how fast you're going. You know, so you spend an hour on a machine, it says, oh, you just burned 800 calories. You buy that?
I don't know. It doesn't seem to add up. Because I, you know, I get told, I mean, you know, that all the time, that people are saying this, and it doesn't seem to totally add up.
I mean, how can that machine take it?
I don't know what formula they're using.
Right,
there.
Exactly. How does that machine calculate something that is so hard to understand and has so many variables?
Mm-hmm.
I could see if they were measuring the expired expired air from your lungs to see the ratio of carbon dioxide in it to try to assume how much your body is really working, but just based on your weight and how fast you're going and the resistance, I just don't understand how they calculate that. That's always been a kind of a farce to me.
Yeah, I've never totally understood it either. And it, like I said, it doesn't seem to add up. Even if you just get, you know, like the standard charts of calories burned per activity,
right,
it doesn't seem to add up.
Right, right.
So.
What about the? Have you ever done any research in metabolism? You know, there's a lot of people out there who say, well, based on how much muscle you carry, every pound of muscle burns X amount of calories a day or something. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I mean, muscle is does require calories to maintain itself.
Right.
Fat doesn't. Fat is stored calories. But muscle actually requires a certain amount of calories to maintain itself. So it does seem that the more muscle you have on your body, the more calories you burn, just, you know, just as your, you know, standard metabolic rate of how much, you know, how much you need for maintenance.
So that means that one of the probably underestimated things that shifts your metabolic rate upwards is to add more muscle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and I think some women are a bit scared of strength training, like they're going to wake up suddenly looking terribly masculine or muscular or something. And, you know, the truth is that the muscle on a woman's body is what's going to give her a firm look. I mean, does she want to be smaller and softer? You know, like, not soft like a woman soft, but just kind of soft like flabby soft.
Right.
Or does she want to be, you know, basically tighter and firmer?
Right.
And it's the muscle that's going to give her nice looking thighs, but whatever, you know, any part of her body is going to look tight and firm if it's got a little bit of muscle on it.
Right.
And we're not talking, you know, she has to look like a female bodybuilder or anything.
Right.
And most women can't look like a female bodybuilder because they don't have the correct genetics for it, and they're not taking
the drugs,
any type of hormones.
Right.
You know, so,
right.
You know, and I mean, you know, a lot of, you know, women athletes and things like that look really nice, you know?
Yeah.
I think
an athletic looking, figure on a woman is really, really attractive. And I like Dr. Cassandra Forsythe, Probonic's, book, Lift Like a Man, Look Like a Goddess.
Right.
I think she's right on the money with that one. Let's take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we'll wrap it up. We're talking with Paul Becker from trulyhuge.com. Check out his website. We'll be right back. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Branched chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at trueprotein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water, and you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to trueprotein.com and get your BCAAs.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical
pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once, and you'll buy it again and again. Veryintensepleasure.com.
Finally, a Bulbine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bulbine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bulbine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Paul Becker from TrulyHuge.com. You know, a lot of this stuff is rhetorical. I mean, we talk about this stuff over and over again, but sometimes you have to be reminded. The simple things: eat every 2 to 3 hours. Make sure you're getting adequate amounts of protein. Make sure you're drinking lots of water. Make sure that you're getting the right kind of carbohydrate mix. You know, make sure that you're getting a proper sleep. Make sure that your training is stimulating your body to ramp up metabolism. Also, make sure you're not getting overtrained. Overtraining is a sure way to shut down your metabolism, to shut down the thyroid. You know, these are basic concepts that we've talked about a million times, but they're worth mentioning again and again sometimes, because so many people get hung up. They're like, you know, I'm not making progress. What's going on with me?
Right.
So sometimes you have to revisit these things and ask yourself, am I applying all of these tenets, or am I not? And quite often, what I've learned from doing a show recently about hard gainers, is that quite often, when you look at these people who are not responding, there is a group of people out there, there's no doubt about it, that have some genetic polymorphisms that cause them to store fat more readily or not put on muscle as easily.
Mm-hmm.
But for the large majority of us, it's simply because we're not doing the things that we know we need to do that work.
Right.
So, anyway.
Makes total sense to me.
Anyway, did we miss anything important, Paul?
I think we definitely hit the important parts. I mean, one thing I'm also experimenting with that's supposed to help increase your metabolism is, organic coconut oil.
Yeah.
You might know a bit about it.
Yeah, I use it regularly. Yeah, because it has, medium chain triglycerides in it, MCTs.
Yeah. I mean, one thing is, it's delicious.
Yeah.
It's absolutely delicious. And, I mean, you know, I'm doing some things to help increase my metabolism, and that's one of them. And, you know, I think I'm getting leaner from using it because of the factors of it.
Right.
So you supplement with the organic coconut oil?
I eat it. I eat it every day. I love it. I keep it in the refrigerator so it solidifies.
Uh-huh.
And I take a fork and I just like chip a big hunk of it and throw it in my mouth and I eat it like it's chocolate.
That's exactly what I do. It's so
funny.
Delicious.
Yeah, it is. It's very good.
So about probably like a, you know, like a big heaping.
Probably the equivalent of about 2 tablespoons to 3
wow,
tablespoons.
That,
yeah.
That much. Okay.
Yeah.
Cause I've been probably doing maybe 2 teaspoons. Maybe I should do some more.
I don't know. You know, I just like the taste of it so much. You know,
I
mean,
know.
to me it's like a, almost like a dessert, like I said before, it reminds me of like chocolate a little bit. It's got that same mouthfeel and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, but that's one of those things that works really good as well.
Mhm.
So it doesn't sound like we missed anything, right?
No, I mean, I think we pretty much covered the basics on this. And
you working on any articles right now for your blog?
I'm gonna write an article real soon. You know, along with you know, hyping up the metabolism. I don't know how much more time we got, but I'll try and cover this real fast.
Yeah, go.
I've been just experimenting with frequency of training. And I found that you could take one body part and train it for low volume.
Right.
But train it every day.
Right.
Or almost every day, right?
Right.
Maybe 6 days a week or something like 5-6 days a week. And actually get, you know, really noticeable progress in that body part in like 3 weeks. And, you know, it's like, if you tried to do it with every part of your body, of course, you'd become exhausted from, you know, trying to train every part of your body every day. But if you just wanted to specialize on a certain body part, it really does tend to work. And then what I've been doing is I work on one body part for 3 or 4 weeks. You know, I just do my regular
workout.
Well,
you could use it to bring up a body part too, right?
Exactly. I just take a look. What body part do I want to emphasize right now or catch up? And then just do my regular workout, and then after that's over, you know, do one or two sets for that body part, for the added body part, and it's really working well. And it's a quick way to add a bit more muscle, which is going to help your metabolism.
Right.
And also with your metabolism, you know, you do all these things and your metabolism's working at a higher level. If your goal is to put on more muscle with your metabolism, you know, at a highly efficient level, you should be able to get maximum muscle growth if that's your goal.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that idea, kind of a specialized focus on a body part that's lagging.
Muscle specialization. I mean, Arnold said when his calves, you know, his calves always lagged when he was when he was first came to America, and his solution was he trained them every day.
Right. And you know what? I've talked about training daily. You got to leave a little something in the tank when you do this. You could try to take like a modified Bulgarian approach where you come into, instead of training 5-6 times a day, you just train every day once, and you hit, and you can do a body part, or you can actually do whole body. But if you're going to do whole body, you got to leave something in the tank. You can't push. What I like to do is prioritize. So maybe let's say I have a push pull and a squat movement, right? So so day one I'll come in, I'll start off with the push, go to the squat, then the pull. Day two, maybe I'll start off with the squat, go to the push, then the pull. Maybe day three, I'll come in and I'll start with the pull, go to the squat and the push. So you're rotating that. So when you're fresh, you're hitting that body part first, then take a day off. So, but when you do this, you have to leave something in the tank. You can't go for an all out to fail your workout.
Right. What I'm doing is just, like I said, I'll do my regular workout and then say, okay, let's say I'm specializing on biceps. I'll do, you know, one or two sets of curls and, you know, maybe a rep short of failure. But then the next day I'll add 2.5 pounds.
Right.
And then do it again and then, you know, just continue. And also, you get a lot stronger. I mean, your strength goes up too very quickly, but there also seems to be a point of where, you know, your body's like, okay, enough of that, you know, move on to a different body part or something.
Right.
But it definitely gets results. It definitely, you know, I mean, there was so much buzz about overtraining, and I think people got a little bit, you know, because back in Arnold's day, they would train body parts 3 times a week.
Right.
And then now that we're down to once a week, and I think if you train a body part once, like on Monday, and then don't train it again on Monday, that I noticed for my own body, and most people I ask who are training once a week, most people who are training a body part once a week will agree to this. You train, let's say, your chest on Monday. Wednesday or Thursday, your chest looks good. By Monday, you're like, you know, it looks almost
it's pretty
much
flat.
The same as it did last Monday.
Yeah.
So you actually, you know, you grew and then
kind of like two steps forward, one step back.
Right. So So, and I find I make better progress training in general a body part twice a week, and then occasionally for a specialization, even as much as every day. But it's low volume. It's not all out to failure. You know, you're just stimulating it every day. And the truth is, heck, you know, if a guy who's pretty inactive, and I've seen this happen when I was a kid, a guy started working even roofing or with a moving company, and he gets bigger. And he's lifting.
Goes to work every day. Well, look,
every day.
Right.
Every day, you know, because roofing, you know, when you have to take the sheets of shingles up on the ladder, you know, you got to put, you know, I seen this guy put 2 to 3 on his shoulder because he built up over time to how much more he can do, you know.
Right.
And the guy who started a job, you know, moving furniture for a living, he definitely got a lot bigger. You know,
right.
And he's doing everyday work. He's not working a failure, but you know, every day. And what's the body? What choice does the body really have but to
respond?
But to get, yeah, exactly.
To respond.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul, we've come to the end of the interview. Just want to go ahead and plug your website again. TrulyHuge.com. How long has your website been around now?
Since 1996.
96, going strong. Check out TrulyHuge.com. Paul, thanks for being on Superhuman Radio, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Paul.
All right, talk to you soon. And I also want to thank, Blair, Liano, I'm sorry, I butchered your name, Helvey, I think it's Liano, for coming on and talking to us about good bugs versus bad bugs for your garden. And we've got some great shows planned for you this week, so stay tuned. I will get a good night's sleep tonight, and I will be 100% tomorrow, I promise. Talk to you then.